Hello, so glad that you were able to get here and able to wait through some of the technical stuff. If you are new to New Day, if this is the first time that you're tuning into a biblical teaching that's connected to New Day Christian Church in Central Wisconsin, there will be in the chat area a message that says "New to New Day." And if you just click like on that to let us know that you are here, that would be wonderful. We'll just send a private message to you and say hello. It'd be really nice to know that you're here. We're also going to have a message that comes up in the chat that is a link to give online. And let me tell you why that's important. Now, yes, New Day Christian Church is a network of disciples who are seeing the vision fulfilled of God's kingdom come, His will being done on earth as it is in heaven. We're trying to make the world look more like heaven. And it takes some resources in order to organize and equip that network of people. So, yes, giving an offering to New Day helps provide those resources. Also, giving an offering to New Day is giving an offering through New Day. We always want to be a church that's about blessing the world around us, and that's going to be even clearer over the next 4 weeks because a lot of us are sitting at home and this global pandemic has been kind of an inconvenience to us. And yet we know that there are people who are going through a lot harder time than we are, and we're just not sure what to do to help. How do we connect to them? Well, there are a couple of organizations that we have a connection to who are connecting to people who have clear needs that we can help to meet. So Community Center of Hope is right here in Central Wisconsin where we're based. And they are providing food and basic supplies to people in need. So if you think about the single parent who now is parenting kids at home and providing food, what if that single parent has lost their job? Well, any sort of support that can come alongside them is going to be important. It's not going to matter so much that we tell people about eternity or God's will for their life if they're sitting there worried about feeding their kids. So that's a local way that we're going to help. And there's also a global effect, of course, of a global pandemic. And we have connections to people in Liberia, West Africa, who have contacted us and said for $15, we can provide rice to a family. And for a family of four, that's enough food to feed them for 2 weeks. Wow. So, what we're doing over the next 4 weeks is we're going to take 25% of all the contributions that are offered to New Day, whether they're online contributions or you go to our website and get our mailing address and send in checks, 25% of that is going to go to provide relief through those organizations. So 12.5% to Community Center of Hope and 12.5% to Liberia, West Africa. So that after 4 weeks, we will have given the equivalent of an entire week of offering to meet those hunger needs across the street and around the world. So this is a great time. If you haven't given before, this is a great time to sign up. It's easy to do online giving. We would really appreciate that, and we would be excited for that to go out and help other people. Of course, if you want to help those organizations directly, there will be links directly to those organizations in the chat area as well. And I want to assure you, I'm not saying this or suggesting this as a ploy to get your money. God does not need your money. I don't need more money coming in. What we all need is opportunities to be more generous. That's what disciples do. That's how they live. I want to give you the opportunity to experience the joy of being generous, of giving. So you can do that online. And as we move into the message, let me pray. God, as I've just talked about finances, which can sometimes be uncomfortable. I pray that you would put in our hearts a joy for generosity, that you would put in our hearts a cheerfulness for giving, that we wouldn't be people who look at the scarcity around us and hoard our resources or think primarily about how to protect ourselves, that we would be conduits of your blessing to the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit, 9 facets of something that the Apostle Paul says will live in us as we follow the lead, follow the guide of the Holy Spirit, and we're on to self-control, the final of those 9 facets. And I have a confession to make. We have had visitors these last 8 weeks. We have a couple of weeks had visitation from Ben and Jerry, usually in the form of their flavor Caramel Sutra, which, I mean, even as I say that out loud and admit that to my church, I realize that this does feel like idolatry going on. Now, food for me is one of those areas where it is hard to control myself. Did you know that the suggested serving amount in Oreos is 3 cookies? So a couple of days ago, my son said, can I buy from you a package of Oreos? Because that's been one of the things that, like, every time I order groceries, and that's what we're doing. We order groceries online and then we go do the pickup thing. I'm always putting Oreos in there. I'm always hoping they'll give me the mega stuff, but they always say that they're out of stock. So I put Oreos in there, and my son said, can I buy one of those packages of Oreos from you? Because I feel bad that I eat so many of them. And I said, well, if that'll make you feel better, go ahead. You can buy a package of Oreos from me. So I gave him a package of Oreos. He gave me a few bucks and he said, oh, but this is a family size. I should give you more money. And I said, no, you don't have to give me more money. Just let me eat some of them. So that was 2 days ago in the evening. And then yesterday, in the first part of the day, like, it's still morning, so it's hours after I gave him the package of family size Oreos, I step into his room in order to enjoy some of these. These happen to be the mint Oreos. Just in case you care for the details, if you're an Oreo fan, you want to know that. So they're the mint Oreos, and I pick up the package, and it's practically empty. I open it up. There are 3 cookies left in the family size package. 1 serving left for Dad. It's amazing what we can do once we rip open a package of Oreos. It's amazing what we can do when we're stressed out. And so for maybe for some of you during this time of stress, maybe you've gone to food, or you've gone to some other substance, or maybe it's shopping, or who knows what stress pushes you to. And the thing is, when stress pushes us to something other than God, we can find ourselves crossing that line of self-control and going into a mode of simply being controlled by our appetites. I weighed myself this morning. We've been working on being better. Some of you have, you know, you're getting close to gaining the COVID-19. You know what I mean? I'm finally on a more downward trend, but it's taken intention, and it's taken some self-control to do that. And what we're going to find is that self-control is more than just buckling down in our own will. It is a support that comes from the Holy Spirit in us and from people around us. So when we think about what can make us kind of cross that line, I think it's interesting. We go all the way back to the book of Genesis, and we see God having a conversation with Cain, one of the first siblings in Scripture. And he says to him, why are you so angry? Why do you look so dejected? You'll be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at your door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master. I'm picturing, like, outside my door here, there's this Oreo just sitting there, like, waiting to control me. But I have to subdue it. I mean, that's not exactly what's going on here. Cain ends up letting anger control him and killing his brother. It's a little more serious than eating all the Oreos. But the principle is there, that there are forces at work that will control us unless we're aware of them and we subdue them. I love that when God starts this this explanation to Cain of what sin really is, just it's anything we do that's apart from what would be honoring to God. It's missing the mark. And he's saying the your appetite for missing the mark in this thing, the fact that you've had this spark of anger and you're letting it burn into rage, this is sin. You're missing what would be most honoring to me, what I've created you for, says God, like what my design for you, you're going outside of it. That's sin. And I love how he starts that by saying, why are you so angry? Why do you look so dejected? We think sometimes of mindfulness, of recognizing the feelings that are happening inside of us and then responding to those feelings rather than letting those feelings control us. As you know, there's a lot of talk about it now, like it's a modern thing. The book of Genesis, God has been doing this. Like, look at what you're feeling and make a conscious decision about it. Now, there are some times where just making a conscious decision is not enough. Sometimes we think that self-control is really about independence. As being a father who has raised some individuals with strong will, sometimes I'll hear a message when I'll give counsel or advice or direction. I'll get this. Maybe some of you have heard this in your own house. I don't have to. It's my choice. See, teenagers want to experience that independence, that individuality, that feeling of not being controlled by others, but having some control over their world. And that's very natural. That is that's what we're designed to do. However, independence is not the highest goal. A child who says, it's my choice, well, they're right. I also have choices. You may make that choice, and then I may choose to keep the keys to the car. Sure, you have choices, but who's providing food for you? Where are you getting the roof over your head? You're acting as if none of this comes from somewhere or someone else. See, independence in a lot of ways is kind of an illusion. I'd like to think more in terms of autonomy, where yes, you can make a decision. You've got to realize and recognize, though, that you're not separated from the rest of the world. You're part of a bigger picture. There's more going on here. If you were to talk to somebody who's been involved in a recovery process, they've recognized in themselves a compulsion or an addiction, and they've sought help for it because they've felt it get out of control. They've felt that the goals and the direction they have in their life are threatened by this compulsion or this addiction. So they go into recovery. And if you talk to somebody and say, well, how do you do that? How do you exercise self-control? Anybody who's been in it for any amount of time is going to help you understand that it isn't about my own will getting stronger. It's not simply about that. It's not about my independence and my decision making. There are people providing support alongside that. And there's this total surrender to a higher power. There's this acknowledgement that it's not about me. So in order to experience self-control, people who have seen that mastery over the addictions and compulsions in their life recognize it is not because of myself and my own strength. It is because I have strength from God within me, and I have strength from people around me. So self-control really is supported control. Independence. I mean, we're going to celebrate Independence Day, where the United States, when we were just colonies, the colonies threw off the tyranny of the King of England, and now we're independent. We celebrate this independence. Where would they have been without France providing military support? They never would have been able to come out from under the tyranny. So we talk about independence, but we've got to recognize that we rely on support in order to be independent from things. Now, we can see that when we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit. If we just back up a few verses, the Apostle Paul says in Galatians 5:16, he says, "Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives." Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. That's an autonomous decision to let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Let the Holy Spirit guide, then you won't be mastered by sin. So there's this conscious decision to say, okay, it's not about me. It's not about just buckling down and trying harder. Yes, I need to try. I need to contribute. What I also need to do is yield myself to the direction of the Holy Spirit. Self-control is not independence. It's more like supported control. We see Jesus when he describes the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14. He says, "I'll ask the Father and he'll give you an advocate." An advocate, a strength that comes alongside you, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. He leads. So let the Holy Spirit guide your life. He leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you and later will be in you. That's the promise for us that Jesus made, is that the Holy Spirit, and we're talking about the triune God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God in us. And he's saying that's not everybody. Not everybody lives that way. We have an autonomous opportunity, a decision to make. Are we going to be the king of our own lives, making our own decisions? And that's what we think it is. That's what Cain thought it was. But if you've been around long enough, you've realized I try to be the king of my life and I end up being derailed all the time. It's like having a car where everything is finely tuned. You've got an engine that works just great. It looks beautiful and you're driving down the road, but you're not going to get where you're going if the steering doesn't work. Not only are you not going to get where you're going, you're probably going to crash. Self-control is like that steering. So if you've been around for a while, you've realized I end up in the same place. I end up bumping against the same things. When I try to master this life on my own, I'm done. Some of you have been carrying around regrets from the past. You're living with the weight of fears about the future. And what Jesus says is, lift that off. You can remove that. All your sins, once for all time, have been nailed to the cross. Past, present, future, separated, As the east is from the west, thrown to the bottom of the sea, your sins have been paid by Jesus Christ. So you can let go of that. And if you're someone who has said, I'm done being the master of my life, I need to let go of that worry about the future and the regrets of the past, and I need to let that be nailed to the cross, I accept the invitation. I want to follow God as my King. I want to receive that forgiveness. I want to live in a way that honors Him. He invites you to do that. And He says, when you make that decision, when you say, I am yours, Lord, I am yours, the Holy Spirit starts living in you and producing the fruit of the Spirit in you and guiding you into truth and being that that still small voice that surprises you sometimes because it leads you in directions that you wouldn't have considered or thought to go. That's what we need to be feeding in our lives. So our self-control is supported by the Holy Spirit in us, and our self-control is supported by relationships within the body of Christ, which is what the apostles call the church. The church is the body of Christ. It's made up of diverse members who support each other. The writer of Hebrews says this in Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 23. He says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep His promise. This would be a great time to everybody at home say, amen. God can be trusted to keep His promise. Thank God that He can. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. I'm going to say that again. Let us think of ways to motivate each other to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. Now, some people have taken this verse, let us not neglect meeting together, as some people do. And they take that and they go, well, our church is going to stay open during this global pandemic because the writer of Hebrews said, don't let us neglect meeting together. Some other churches can stop meeting together. They can go online, but we're going to be the true Christians who still meet together. And that's not what that's talking about. The context of this in Hebrews, You have a persecuted group, people who are essentially hiding in their homes because if they go out, they're going to suffer. And yet the writer of Hebrews is saying, but find a way to connect with each other. So we have this opportunity to do this electronically. A lot of us are doing this electronically. He says, find a way to connect to each other in order to motivate one another to acts of love and good work, in order to encourage one another. Now, some of you are anxious for the Sunday morning event to come back together, and some, I think some of that some of looking forward to that is really, it comes from a place where we miss the connection, we miss the encouragement, we miss that opportunity to quickly and easily kind of catch up with people. And I understand that. I want that too. And some of it, though, I think comes from our kind of misplaced understanding that that is church, a Sunday morning event. In a church building, that is church. And if we don't have that, then church isn't happening. That's so wrong. We are the church. The church is a network of disciples. And the church is not closed. I was hoping that even from here, I could hear people from other neighborhoods saying amen to that. The church is not closed. We still have the opportunity to connect with each other in order to motivate each other to acts of love and good works. Now, if you're feeling like, yeah, I wanted that more face-to-face connection, find somebody who you think is open to doing that safely. You can do that outdoors. You can still keep a safe distance. You can wear a mask. You can meet at a park and have that distance and still then have that face to face. If you want to pray together, if you want to sing together, if you want to, whatever it is that you're missing that you want to do, find someone who wants to do that too, and then do it safely. We have a church board that meets every month. We're meeting shortly after this message, and we take care of business once a month. It's five men, five women. And then at a different point during the month, the men get together apart from the women, and the women get together apart from the men, and we ask each other questions like, how are you prioritizing prayer and taking in God's word? We ask each other questions like, have you had any interactions with someone of the opposite sex that your spouse would not approve of? And what that does is it keeps us accountable. It helps motivate us. Are you handling your finances with integrity? Are you resisting temptations? And for different people, it's going to be different temptations. Are you, how are you resisting, lust and pornography, or maybe it's overeating, or maybe it's alcohol, whatever it is in this season of your life, how are you standing up against that? How are you resisting temptation? And if you know somebody's going to ask you that, when that temptation comes up, you're more likely to resist it because you know you're going to have to face them and answer the question. And we help each other and we support each other. And when somebody trips, we don't kick them. We encourage each other. We motivate each other because we know that the business that we do is going to head the wrong direction if we are lacking integrity and self-control in our own lives. So we support each other in that. Self-control is about more than your strong independence. Self-control is about yielding control to the Holy Spirit within you and giving supported control to people around you. I'm not saying they're going to control you. I'm saying they're supporting your steering system in your life. That's what I think Paul is talking about when he says self-control is an aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. It's this desire to give the Holy Spirit some supportive role within you and the body of Christ a supportive role around you so that you can stay on track in the direction God would have you go. So that's my prayer for you this week, that you would experience that. And as we have the opportunity to feel that blessing from God, that he gives that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, that we would be a people who receive that humbly, who aren't about what do I have the right to do and what is my will to be done right now, but we yield our will to his will and experience those things in our lives, that we would be humble, that we would be grateful, that rather than thinking about all that we've lost, that we would think about all that we've been given, and then we would thank God for it, and that we would be generous, that rather than looking at scarcity and thinking, how can I protect my resources, we would believe that God fulfills his promises and that we would receive blessings from him and be a conduit for those things to bless the world around us. You can do that, again, by giving online. I mean, that's one simple thing that you could do right now. And New Day will be a conduit for those blessings to go out to Community Center of Hope to help people in our own neighborhoods and Teamwork Africa to help people in Liberia, West Africa. We're excited to be a part of that. And if you want to get more involved in the New Day community, again, send an instant message. If we can put that message up there, new to New Day, again, and click like on that, we'll help you get more plugged in and involved in the network that is accomplishing the mission of making more and better disciples, that is achieving the vision of seeing this world, our neighborhoods, our world look more like heaven. I'm so glad that you tuned in today, and I'm excited to catch up with you again next week. Next week, I want to do some Q&A, some question and answer. And if you got a question, send me an email, aaron@newdaywi.com. Send a message in. Send me questions, and I want to interact with some of what's going on in your heart, in your mind, in your life. And until then, have a good week. Experience the support of the Holy Spirit and the support of other believers in your life, and go in peace.